As being said, my name is Don Jones. I'm with Cotton Incorporated. I'll be speaking today about a quality score. I've reported on this at two prior belt wides, and so this is data from yet another year, which will be 2007 data. And hopefully I can see this page down through my bifocals. For some background, this quality score is index based on HVI properties. We're using four of those properties. I'll mention what those are in just a moment. It's a 0 to 100 scale. We all grew up in school on 0 to 100 scales. I'm sure everybody in this room was near the 100. So it's easy to understand. It's a unitless scale. And it's just basically a selection tool for breeders, or what I call it's a discard tool. It helps you to throw material away. Rather than looking at, in our instance, four columns of data, you'll be looking at one column of data. The four properties are scaled. We had to do this using the standard deviations of the entire U.S. crop. It goes along, it happens in the macro, in the background. But you can assign whatever weighting you want to the four HBI parameters. I'll indicate in a slide or two what our weighting is. The desirable mic and strength measures are based on the international demands of what's, since most U.S. cotton is exported now, regarding Micronair, the desirable range is more narrow than what you would see on the loan chart, and the strength threshold is a little bit higher than what you would see. But these were based on the international standards. This will be a review for most breeders, but this cartoon, what I've shown here is a bucket. In the first year of a breeding program, you're dealing with the largest number of segregating rows you would have in your breeding pipeline, so that's shown by this large bucket. And typically, in addition to, if you get some yield data, maybe some phenotypic selection you're going to do, you'll be looking at some fiber quality. And due to cost, which is roughly, I listed it $675 per sample, that's generated from HBI. Based on whatever criteria you're using after a year or two, you advance things through your breeding pipeline, and I'm showing this as a smaller bucket because you've thrown some material away. Because there's less material, you can scrutinize it a little bit more. Some people choose to use APHIS. I'm showing a cost of about $20 a sample, so it's about three times more expensive to run APHIS than it is HVI. I know there's work proceeding in progress that's the goal is to reduce that cost. HBI is also about 10 times faster, so there's a cost factor and a time factor. But eventually, you'll also possibly use APHIS and HBI at that stage. But after either a year, a couple years more, you'll advance things even further and your bucket's smaller because you have far, far fewer genotypes you're looking at. But at that point, you might be spinning it. And spinning's a fairly costly endeavor. So the reason I show you this, what we did with this quality score is we're trying to determine if selections we make here, what will that tell us about something that's going on up in this stage, which is oftentimes, depending how breeding programs are run, at least 5 years down the road, and sometimes 8 and 10 years prior. The box in the lower right-hand side just gives you some typical numbers that are run. As I stated, I reported on this in two prior years. My year one and two take-homes are fairly easy. Regarding the usefulness of the quality score, my prior year's data showed me it was fairly useful for predicting thin places in yarn and yarn strength. It was a poor predictor for thick places in yarn, and it was useless for predicting nips. So that was my year one and two take-homes. This data set's based on 2007 data. There was 4 entries grown at 9 locations. These were tested from west to east, you'll see. They were uniformly ginned at the Microgen at Georgia. And then all the data listed at the bottom was generated at Cotton Incorporated. And I'm spinning 22 singles. This is gearing towards ring spinning, by the way. I'm not going to show you a whole lot of data because the message is fairly simple. These are the 4 lines that were tested. I want to be sure the lines are the colors show up. The line at top was a little bit longer than the other 3, which were fairly close. The micronair were all within basically the acceptable range by international standards. The uniformity index was a little bit lower. Generally, the international standards want about 82. And with the strength, all 4 were slightly better. But if you run this data, and again, this is the mean of 9 locations. Tried to make it simple. If you run this data through the macro, which is fairly simple to do, this is the quality scores you're going to get. And the 4 variables are listed under the QS, the upper half mean, the micronair, uniformity index, and strength. And that's the various weightings. This macro is easy to change. You can plug in whatever weightings you want. But there's the 4 quality scores shown, 68 from the top to 55 at the bottom. I'll note the second line, the FiberMax line, was 60 in 2007 data. It was 61 in prior year's data. So these quality scores are fairly consistent from year to year. I'll also note in prior presentations of data, I had differences of about 10 units between these. This is a little bit more compressed, so there was a little bit difference between the years. Just want to show you this just as information. This is the quality score on your y-axis. Along the x-axis is the various sites going from west to east. So Arizona is in the far west, the eastern sites are on the far side. You see the red line tends to be near the top every time. The blue line tends to be near the bottom. You will note that in Alabama and South Carolina in 2007, they had severe stress. It compresses differences for fiber yield. It compresses differences for fiber quality as well. Just wanted to show you that for information's sake. These are the parameters we looked at. In spinning for evenness, we looked at 2 measures: thin places in a yarn and thick places in a yarn. With entanglements, we looked at NEPS, and for strength, there were 2 measures. These are the measures I'm reporting. There's far more that are measured. This shows thin places in a yarn. This is very virtually the same that we saw in prior year's data. The higher the quality score, the lower number of thin places. You want the column, I can't find my cursor. You want this number to be low. So it was a highly significant effect, and it was a highly significant negative correlation. So the higher the quality score, the lower number of thins. Exactly what we saw previously. And that's the thin places looking across each data point from each of the sites. Again, most of the times the red bar gave you the highest quality score. In most of the locations, it's the lowest. The blue one gave you the lowest quality score, and there you see it's giving you more thin places. It's the last time you'll see one of these type of graphs. The picture was not the same with thick places. Previously, I did not predict thick places with quality score. Same thing is found here. These 2 numbers are virtually the same, even though there was a difference in the quality score. These 2 numbers were virtually the same. These are virtually the same, but I can't predict thick places with this quality score. That was similar to what we saw last time. With NEPS, I don't know what predicts NEPS, to tell you the truth. Certainly not this quality score. You need APHIS data to predict NEPS. This is similar to what we saw last time. Yarn strength changed between my prior years and this year. Previously, as I stated, we could predict yarn strength with the quality score. This data set indicates otherwise. You notice of the 3 lines, there's no differences for the skein test and there's no differences for the single end test. There was a drop off for the SureGrow line. So the quality score was not useful for predicting yarn strength. So I go back to my cartoon. If I was going to use the quality score, I think I could help predict thins, or in other words, if I'm going to throw material away, I'm pretty sure using this quality score, I'm throwing the material away that tends to give you more and more thins. And thins cause ends down and cause mill people to be unhappy. The other yarn quality traits are not predicted well, at least year in and year out. And as breeders, G by E tends to drive you crazy, and that's it tended to give me fits with this data set as well. So the take home, the quality score is useful for predicting yarn thin places. It doesn't help predict the other variable traits. I'd like to acknowledge the folks that did most of this work. The RBTN cooperators, many of them are in the room. This is a trial that's grown across the belt that I happened to borrow the fiber from that trial. Andy Knowlton, the University of Georgia microgen staff that did all the ginning. William Bridges is a statistician at Clemson University. I didn't use 99.9% of the data he presented. We've got lots of data, but obviously I boiled it down because his message was pretty simple. And the fiber competition staff generated all the data and spun all the yarn. I'd be happy to entertain questions. Fred. Right. It does. But in my data set, by testing across those nine locations, you introduce a G by E factor that if you separate it within a location, if you make the locations, your sample of environment smaller, you can get a much stronger relationship. So for instance, you're breeding in the state of Arkansas. I feel comfortable saying either the quality score or other HVI properties are more predictive of spinning, but you have to define your number of environments. The wider that number of environments, the more G by E you're getting, the more error in essence you're getting in terms of your predictability. So I mean, if I throw away certain locations in this data set, it makes my quality score usefulness much, much greater. But if you throw the data away you don't like, you tend to not be a scientist before too long. You can make the data say what you want to, but including all the data set, as I did, that's the only conclusions I can draw. But if you only look at intended to be from certain locations going west, this predictor was better. Again, it's a function of your testing environment as well. When you get high yields, when you get maximum separation for lint yield, you actually get maximum separation for fiber quality. And when you get that maximum separation, it's a better predictor. Well, the way I look at this is I'm not trying to separate the ones at the top. The ones at the top will be separated with multiple years of HVI testing and what you learn from APHIS and the combination of both. I'm trying to use this to help a breeder throw material away where you have basically very little data, and you need to be assured that what you're throwing away are the proper ones. And I feel comfortable saying, yeah, it works pretty well. You might be throwing some good ones away, but you're not dragging the bad ones along, which can kill a breeding program. Thank you.